Fight Back with Libby Znaimer on Zoomer Radio.
Welcome back. And as promised, we are going to Professor Richard LeBlanc to talk more about the Rogers fiasco. And as we've been reporting, the CEO has been summoned to meet with the industry minister, François-Philippe Champagne, this afternoon. What, if anything, is the government likely to do about this? Also, as we were trying to drill down to in our last segment, what exactly is our vulnerability? Can the whole system be hacked? We've been told this time that it was the result of a system update, but I know a lot of us were wondering if it was actually a hack before we heard that. And what if any impact will this have on Rogers' proposed $26 billion merger with Shaw? That will make even less competition in this country. Dr. Richard LeBlanc, thanks so much for being with us.
My pleasure, Libby.
Okay, so those are the questions. First of all, what is your take on the explanation?
Well, I'm not sure that it should be a closed-door meeting. The minister, this is a public issue, and I think if this had happened in the United States, the three telecom CEOs would be swearing an oath and would be in front of a panel of elected politicians answering questions. So it's not clear to me why the meeting is behind closed doors to begin with. You mentioned the hack. I was actually working because I was working around, 4:45, 5 a.m. And then it went down and, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock. And I went outside and I checked the wires and I called a technical assistant around 7 a.m. And he said, it's across Canada. And we had not heard anything from Rogers until about 9 a.m. My first thought, and I've been through cyber breaches with advising a board that ultimately made a payout to Russian threat actors. The first thing I thought of when it was nationwide was a Russian threat actor attempting to secure a Bitcoin payment. And I think Rogers did not, in my view, adequately come out during the course of the day with even to the best of our knowledge, information, and belief, this is not a hack. That would have been helpful for Canadian. So I think the way that they managed the crisis was not ideal. You also mentioned, the sector competition law. I mean, competition, enhancing competition is one way to get at this, but a market-based solution by admitting other telecoms, is one way to go. But normally, it's a lack of federal regulation over the internal controls. I mean, a maintenance upgrade should not result in the paralysis of networks across Canada. So there's a number of lessons to be learned here. You know, one is crisis management. Two is the role of the government. There were 911. It wasn't possible. It did not work in emergency situations. So I think what I'm hearing from Canadians is that this telecom now is increasingly becoming so important, almost like sort of communication and electricity was 30 or 40 years ago, that there needs to be a public good. There needs to be strengthened regulation over switching and redundancy so that when an outage does happen, you can switch.
Okay, but so this happened a year ago,
yeah,
with the same explanation. So, first of all, you believe the explanation, then?
Again, I have no way of validating that. It's an assertion by the CEO. I'm not questioning the CEO's integrity, but it happened twice, as you say, twice in 15 months. So, and that was my original point about having hearings in public. So, the root cause, I think, is important, but I don't just fault Rogers. I fault the federal government. And I guess that's where I'm leading to this, particularly the CRTC and Industry Canada. And I regularly work with regulators, and I can tell you that when I, for example, a financial regulator. Let's take OSFI that regulates all the banks and across Canada. The level of regulation of a financial institution in Canada is night and day. I mean, it's right into the actual internal controls that are used over banking transactions. So I think, you know, one regulator said to me recently that threat actors and telecoms are at a high school level. Sorry, telecoms are at a high school level and threat actors are at a World Cup level. Threat actors and regulators are at a high school level. So I think regulators, when it comes to technology, are playing catch up.
Okay, but let me ask you this. Are you saying then that you believe the federal government could successfully regulate us out of this vulnerable position?
Yes, yes. And
how so?
By strengthening the internal controls that are required for a maintenance upgrade or a software upgrade that require third-party independent verification. This does not happen with successful U.S. companies such as Apple when they roll out new products and a software update. So choices are made in terms of the interconnectivity of the various systems across the country. And typically, and I'm generalizing now, management does not like internal controls because they cost money. So there's a natural tendency to trust management if you're a board and have degrees of freedom unless and until regulators go right into, and I'm suggesting going right into the weeds and prohibiting certain courses of action that Rogers ultimately took that caused. I mean, this is a causal. This is not human error. There's a cause and effect for every action. So what I'm suggesting is regulation needs to be strengthened by the federal government. That's what I'm suggesting.
Is there a way, if the federal government has the will to do that, and that is a very big if,
yeah,
is there a way for them to get it done quickly?
Yes. I mean, you just have to put resources behind it. And as you said, Libby, you have to have the courage to do it. There's always been a permissiveness with the telecoms in Canada, and you get what you regulate. So at the end of the day, you've got TELUS, Bell and Rogers that, you know, may not have made the requisite investments for internal control structures within the organization, and relying solely on the board of directors, it's been my experience that companies will not do things unless they're forced to do it. So that the force comes with the regulation. And your question is actually the better question. Does the CRTC and Industry Canada have the courage to be able to act in the public interest? I mean, a good crisis should never be wasted. And I think this, I mean, if this doesn't rise to the level of a crisis, I'm not sure what is. And, you know, this could have been much worse. This could have been, I was proceeding Friday morning under the assumption that meaning the country, was subject to a Russian threat actor. And given our activities in Ukraine right now, we're certainly on Mr. Putin's radar screen, and many of the threat actors are paid by the government. They're young, they're 25 to 35, they have PhDs. They're paid by the Russian government to target North American infrastructure. Until Rogers came out in the morning saying, it's an internal, these are my words, and it's an internal issue, this could have been much worse. We imagine not having internet for 10 days until a payment is made. So I think we dodged a bullet, and I think for reform to occur, we cannot rely on Rogers. We have to rely on federal regulation. And I think and when you look, and I'm a governance expert, when you look at the technical experts, the technology professors, they're agreeing with me that we really need an overhaul of our technology regulation.
Let me ask you something else. And that is that $26 billion merger that's on the table now. Does this make approval less likely? And if it is approved, will things get even worse?
I think the answer to the first question is yes. And I think the answer to the second question is yes. This makes it less likely because there's a public outcry of not putting all of your eggs in one basket, especially when you look at bundling of services and fewer people and relying on fewer entities. I mean, we generally, when you have lack of competition, you have inferior service to customers and you have higher costs to customers. And that's what we have in Canada. We pay some of the highest costs in the world for for telecom services. So what we should have is multiple players, not piggybacking, because piggybacking means if a major player goes down, the minor players also go down, and that happened, you know, in this outage as well. But fully functioning, independent of each other, telecoms that compete, and including switching costs, so that if one goes down in an emergency, you don't have the barriers to entry that you do now, which is you can't really switch from Rogers to Bell in an emergency. And the reason you have that is because it's not regulated. Bell, TELUS and Rogers engage in these barriers because they can, because it's not regulated. So regulation needs to address why this happened, as your previous speaker said, and also preventing it from happening again in the future. So I place the blame not only on Rogers, but I place the blame largely on the federal government.
And given that they have an agreement with the NDP and they have three more years to run, and the opposition, the conservative opposition, looks to be in some kind of disarray, what do you think might happen?
Well, I think, as one of your previous speakers said, you know, and I'm paraphrasing, don't hold your breath, because we have the same, and I think the words were, until we keep electing the same political class. I mean, Trudeau, for all intents and purposes, has a majority government with the support of the NDP. So there's no excuse not to strengthen regulation to deter this type of market occurrence in the future. And if nothing is done, and I guarantee you there are Russian actors and China and North Korea. And when you look at the Five Eyes and NIST and the technology standards that are out there, there are threat actors all the time that are looking at what is happening in Canada. We might even have domestic threat actors that are feeding information to Russia and China. This last weekend was a learning opportunity, and it is now in their playbook, which is you can attack a telecom company to cripple a country.
Let me ask you this. We talked about the scams that have cropped up in the wake of this, and I asked Daryl Bricker if he knew of a country in the world that could have stopped the scams. Is there a country in the world that could stop the kind of scams that we are seeing cropping up in the wake of this?
Yeah, I think that you have organized crime involved in cybersecurity, and they're very sophisticated. And the scams came up right after this outage occurred. You know, can you prevent it? You certainly can deter it with enhanced regulation. You might ultimately not be able to prevent it, but you need enough internal controls and robustness and perimeter testing and resiliency and redundancy planning to block the bad guys, and that can be done. But it won't be done by just relying on companies. You have to rely on the government to get ahead of it and to force companies to spend the money. Rogers and the telecoms are enjoying an oligopoly. They are making millions of dollars for their investors and their shareholders. There's no incentive to augment internal controls unless you're forced to do it. And that compelling comes from the government. So it's a lot of courage. You've got to look at the threat actors and what their level of sophistication is. And you don't want to be 10 steps behind. Right now, we're probably 50 steps behind, but we want to be, you know, right behind, not where we are now. This is an accident waiting to happen if the federal government does not act.
Okay, last 20 seconds, what would you like to leave us with?
Well, I don't mean to be overstating this, we dodged a bullet. And I think that it's incumbent on the government to be transparent and to strengthen oversight of telecom, so that we don't have a third kick at the can. We've had two in 15 months. The writing is on the wall. Eyes need to be wide open, and we need to have meetings in public.
Okay, that's a good idea. Thank you so much, Dr. Richard LeBlanc. Appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.